Hi again, everybody. We welcome you into ESP Media Coverage Molar Crusader Athletics. It is Fighting Crusader lacrosse time as we are our third lacrosse podcast of the season. And Coach, welcome to opening week. You got to be excited. That's head coach Sean McGinnis.
Yeah, I'm really excited here. There's a big orange thing in the sky right now. I don't know really what that is, but it's 50 degrees out in Cincinnati, and there's no snow anywhere, so we're going to have a great practice today.
You guys got to be excited, though. So, I mean, you got practice getting ready for opening week. We'll get into that coming up here in just a little bit. So, but, yeah, for you guys, I know when we talked at this point last week, it was freezing outside, and I know you guys had an outdoor practice that
unbelievably cold for early March or late – early March. You know, usually you're getting wet weather in 40 degrees, but, I mean, it got really cold. And,
it was wind chill cold.
We had to follow our head athletic trainer, Craig Lindsay's rules as far as being outside for a certain amount of hours. If it fell below a certain temperature, you could only be outside for a little bit. We did the best we could managing being outside and being inside.
Sure.
I thought collectively it was a good week of putting in, like, installing things as far as offense, defense, some specialty stuff. You know, now that the weather is nicer, now that we have the time change and it's light past 7 o'clock, you know, I think everyone this week is looking forward to some great work.
All the outdoor coaches are liking that time change. Everybody else whines about losing an hour's sleep.
I was going to say, I think we all like the time change, but I still think we all like the sleep patterns are going to be a little erratic this week.
I just set my clock ahead when I go to bed, so if I'm going to bed at midnight, okay, it's 1 o'clock.
Right.
Big deal, whatever.
Right.
So
I mean,
still get up.
That's why NBC plays golf on Sunday afternoons. And that's why you have a couch, right?
Hey, that's a great point. So amen, amen.
Yeah.
All right, so the rosters were set. We got into that a little bit last week. So, and now you're getting a chance. You had the practices and getting into the specifics. You kind of knew who was going to fit in where, though. But we're going to want to kind of talk a little bit about offense this weekend or this week and kind of see what's happening with that.
So, you know, the process of taking 81 players and trying to figure out which teams they're on, you know, it's still an evolving process. You know, we have to name our teams, you know, based on, experience. We have to base it on lacrosse IQ. We have to base it on athleticism, you know, years in the program. There's a lot of things that go into why we, you know, choose someone to be on one team versus the other. And then it's a evolving process too, especially with the JV. We have a JV A game schedule, a JV B game schedule. But they practice as a JV team. You know,
a lot of big team.
I mean, almost the entire JV program is freshmen and sophomores. And that's a large part of our program right now when you look at the numbers. So we're trying to get them to work together as a full JV program, not necessarily an A and a B squad.
Right.
Just practicing together, working hard together, and encapsulating or, you know, involving the brotherhood aspect of Molar lacrosse so that in 4 years, you know, these guys are doing what the seniors are going to do this year.
Right. I guess that is growing pains in some aspects. I mean, we've kind of talked about how great it is, the number of players that Molar has coming in. But with that comes now trying to figure out where all those pieces of the puzzle fit.
Yeah, and it's not a perfect science. I mean, you ask any coach, it's not perfect. And, you know, we just try and tell our younger guys or even our older guys, whatever team you're on, you know, make sure that you're working hard every day. Make sure you're trusting the process. Make sure you're trying hard to be a good teammate. And if you're working, hard to get better, then that means you're helping someone else on the team to get better. And if we collectively do that, JVA, JVB, varsity, everyone is continually getting better throughout the spring season, and that's all we can ask for.
So. I would think so. And I would also say as well, when you have two JV teams in A, B, whatever way, blue, gold, however we're going to label those, I would have to think that is better than having varsity, JV, freshman only, because if you have freshman only, you know, then you have just one JV team that's going to be –
right,
so loaded, and then a freshman team that not as much. Now you can kind of spread that all around, and more people can participate.
Yeah, you know, I look at it as, you know, we have a JV program, and that JVA team we're starting this year and then moving into next year if our numbers stay the same is, you know, trying to challenge maybe more varsity level type teams. So going out to some of the newer varsity level teams because the skill set, because the age group is probably going to be sophomores and juniors next year for JVA, is we want to give them almost, it's almost like a varsity reserve team,
right,
you know, in these
right.
next couple years. I mean, it's a lot of good things going on, and you know, like I said, we just try and make sure our kids just work hard every day and get better.
So. Yeah, it's good problems to have. So I'm sure for you administratively trying to keep all this together, good luck.
But, yeah, it's a lot of spinning plates, but you know, I enjoy it, and you know, moving into our offense this year, as far as our varsity. You know, I think we just got a great group of guys. You know, our offense from the midfield is going to be led by Dylan Warner, who came to Mueller last year and transferred, and then also Cole Grillo offensively. I mean, Dylan is a dynamic lacrosse player. I mean,
we got to see a lot of him in the second half.
Right,
yeah.
Primarily a kind of like a box lacrosse player. That's where his strengths lie. He played on the U19 U.S. national box team. So he has that ability to create in small spaces, which is really dangerous. And he has explosive speed. You know, a couple times Saturday, you can see him, you know, looking down at the goal. He's on the right corner, and all of a sudden, he just swings to the left like a sweep. And I mean, he's doing some pretty nasty stuff. And it was cool to see. There was one play in particular where he just basically faked out the entire defense and scored a goal. So, I mean, he's a big part of our offense from the midfield. And Cole Grillo is just our workhorse. I mean, that kid doesn't come off the field. And, you know, he's the guy that, you know, you're like, pass the ball, and he's going to dodge. And he makes a dodge, and he dodges through three guys, and he shoots the ball, and it goes in. You're like, okay, we'll go with that.
No, yes, exactly. Yeah. It happens all the time. You go back to Dylan for just a second, too, and talking about the box lacrosse versus the bigger field, and I'm always kind of fascinated with soccer as well, from playing the indoor soccer to the outdoor field. As far as being in shape, as far as that extra running, there's a lot more field to play.
Well, yeah, there's a lot more field, you know, so you know, these guys, you know, they come in shape, you know, for lacrosse, but you know, you look at it as they're playing in a very small space. You know, soccer, it's futsal, you know, so they're playing in a very small space and learning how to play that style of game. And then you put that small space on a larger field or a larger offensive box, and it becomes, you know, a tremendous advantage to those who can play in a small space on a bigger field, you know. So and Dylan does a great job. He's going to Cleveland State next year. Right. He's a Division I commit. So you know, we're expecting some pretty big things out of Dylan at the midfield this year.
That's very exciting to know that you've got those kind of players coming in. Then we've got let's go up attack wise.
Yeah. You got the big cat, Brendan Sigurds, and again another Division I commit. Brendan's a 4-year starter for us, and this guy is a unique attackman because he has size, he has speed, strength, and he's got a lacrosse IQ that is so high. We look forward to him doing some good things for us as far as maybe even breaking some records, longstanding records actually, for assists and scoring and things like that at Mueller. And he's like our quarterback. You know, he's our guy that knows the offense really well. And he and Dylan especially are working together and talking to the younger offensive guys and, you know, applying to what, you know, our assistant coach, offensive coach, Coach Gibby is, or Noah Gibby is, you know, saying, you know, as far as the offense goes, they're really kind of applying the teaching part of it and, you know, really helping out the younger guys. But Brendan, you know, I think he honestly missed being a All-American last year by one vote. And, you know, a lot of that All-American stuff goes to seniors and stuff like that. But he missed it by like one or two votes. And he's been all state. He's been all region. He's been, you know, all everything these last couple years, quite honestly, played at a very high level. I mean, I think he's definitely someone to watch, and I think he's definitely worthy of not only maybe even player of the year in this area, but maybe in the state.
In the state, wow. So. And he certainly has had those kinds of, I don't want to say flashes of brilliance, because it's sustained through the whole year. I mean, beginning of the season to the end.
I mean, it is. He you know, it's sustainable. You know, he gets the best defender on him, and he just knows how to, you know, number one, score, and number two, be able to play offense and create offense for the five other guys out there. You know, so a big thing with us offensively, having Dylan so strong at midfield and having Brendan so strong at attack, is the five other guys working off ball and creating offense for themselves when they don't have the ball.
Right.
Because these two guys are going to create it for them. You know, so I mean, it's a good thing to have, you know, two strong guys at those positions, and you know, look forward to great things from them.
Let's talk about also you had some players that graduated. Logan Deball gone now, playing big time college lacrosse. But you'll have a kid, Lucas Salzano, who was he's going to be a senior.
Senior, so, yeah. Yes, Luke, we call him Sal, or now we call him Saul. You know, so, but Sal's been doing really well for us. He works really hard, and you know, he's going to see some time at attack this year. He's definitely a guy that, and we just talked about when you work off ball, he's a guy that can work off ball and get open. You know, from Dylan's, you know, dodging or Brendan's, you know, dodging, you know, Sal can get open on the right wing and then cork a few and, you know, make a couple good shots that way. So, you know, Lucas sells out on attack. You've got, then you got our two junior attackmen with Theo Becker and Zach Kroger. Again, two just gritty, fast, you know, kind of shorter offensive guys that are going to give the defense trouble along with Brendan. And at midfield, and we got a lot of sophomores that you know have really upped their game in the offseason, have improved their stick skills. They're very athletic and fast. So, you know, the younger guys offensively at midfield give us athleticism, speed, and you can ask for anything better than that. So
we'll be a high flying kind of an offense. I mean,
when you see our midfields dodging from up top, you're going to see a lot of athleticism in our younger guys. We have Zach Bedwell as a junior, very athletic, you know, and has the ability to shoot on the run really well. We have a very tall midfielder in Hayden Gerhardt. He's a little banged up right now coming out of hockey, but you know, a 6'4", you know, pretty decent size.
That's good size.
It's going to be hard. You know, you run downhill, you know, we get him to run downhill and, you know, shoot on the run. It's going to be, you know, nice to watch. So our midfield this year, I think what you'll see from other years is it's very athletic, very fast. So we can catch the stick skills up to that, and you know, we can do some really good things.
That'll be another nice option to have. You had a chance to actually put this into play over the weekend, too. Scrimmage over the weekend. I know the weather Saturday kind of started off okay and got bad quickly.
Yeah, you know, it's always great to play someone else, and we only got the chance to play Sycamore in a scrimmage, and, you know, coming out, it just, I think everyone, even Sycamore, it's that first time out there, and everyone just wants to go, and, you know, it gets a little sloppy at first, you know, everyone's just super excited to start playing lacrosse. Once we settled into things and, you know, we, you know, guys started to work the ball around, and you kind of saw an initial dodge from the midfielder or offense being set up up top, and you can kind of see the free motion of the five other guys. You saw a lot of guys open for shots, or you saw inside looks, you know, where we're getting dunks. And then you see Brendan or the attackman from behind, you know, working and creating offense from behind, and how things open up up top with the midfield. And I think one nice thing, we still got to work on it, but our transition offensively, we did a really good job of when Sycamore saved the ball or we created a turnover in our riding portion of the game, like kind of a full court press, but or pressing basketball wise. Our ride was really good on Saturday. I mean, we caused turnovers to get the ball back, and then you saw, you know, 1, 2, 3 passes and just dunks right in front of the goal. And I mean, that's when lacrosse gets exciting, when you see that fast pace, that ball move really, really quickly. So, you know, we saw some things we got to work on. We saw some really good things, you know, that you know, we saw that we see as we can build on. So we'll do it again on Tuesday night against CHCA and get ready by the end of the week.
Well, we were going to come up, and in fact, we'll take a little break right now and catch our breath, and then we'll talk about that and some of the kind of fun stuff going on within the program. We're also, too, as well, going to try to catch up with a folk or someone from the new website that is called Lax Records, LAX, Lax Records, and it's going to be kind of a it's going to be a go-to site.
Michael Ward, Mike Loveday runs Lax Record. Michael Ward has kind of come on as a Midwest high school lacrosse contributor. Cool. So I've talked to Mike a few times over the course of the offseason. He's a good guy and has a lot of good insight on high school lacrosse and high school lacrosse in Ohio.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to talking to him. And we'll get a little idea of what's not only down in our region, but around the whole state of Ohio as well. So we've got more coming up. It is our third Mueller Lacrosse Podcast. Head Coach Sean McGinnis. I'm Greg Waddell. All this brought to you, by the way, from Total Wealth Planning. We appreciate their support as well. Rob Lemons, give him a call at 513-984-6696 or check out the website TWP. That's for Total Wealth Planning, TWPteam.com. More coming up with Head Coach Sean McGinnis from ESP Media, powered by Sidearm Sports.
Total Wealth Planning can partner, guide, and educate your family holistically on your financial goals and pursuits. Your dreams are better achieved with a trusted fiduciary like Rob Lemons and his team. Contact Rob today at 513-984-6696. That's 513-984-6696 or on the web at twpteam.com. Total Wealth Planning.
Alabama Fish Bar, the Taste of Cincinnati 2017 winner. Alabama Fish Bar, located in Over the Rhine at 1601 Race Street, Cincinnati. Go to alabamafishbar.com to learn more about this 26-year-old staple serving the freshest fish in historic downtown Cincinnati. Open Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Closed all major holidays.
Hi, everybody. We welcome you back into our Mueller Lacrosse Podcast. Number two, head coach Sean McGinnis. I'm Greg Waddell for ESPN Media, powered by Sidearm Sports and letsgobigmo.com. Coach, before we get ahead to looking ahead to what's coming up, and including the opening game later on this week, something fun I know you guys are trying to do, social media. I mean, yeah. Let's face it, I'm old. I'm older than you. We're old, though.
Not by much.
Oh, man, I feel it sometimes. But Sean, the whole social media landscape. Yeah. Is just an amazing thing now. And it's cool to promote the program, but a lot of these guys use it to promote themselves as well. And you're in it for two reasons, obviously, yeah. Wins and losses. We want the program to do well. But you're also developing these young men too.
Well, I think, with this social media nowadays, it's a great opportunity to showcase your school. I mean, we're in Cincinnati, Ohio. It's hopefully becoming a more hotbed for lacrosse. This is a great opportunity, not only just to showcase our program and what the guys are doing, but it's really to showcase the school. It gives an insight, sure, of what the guys are doing. We do have some strict rules on what the boys need to do and what they need to put out there, but it's
or
an opportunity.
They shouldn't put out
or
there.
What they shouldn't put, yeah, out there. And it's just a fun opportunity for our seniors to kind of show a day in the life of a Mueller lacrosse player and such like that. So they were looking forward to it. We brought it up in a captain's meeting not too long ago, and they ran with it. So we're looking forward to the first segment today, kind of kicked off. Dylan Warner and Braden Titus are going to be the first two. So go over to Instagram and follow Mueller Lacrosse on Instagram.
Right,
and
now
you'll see Braden and Titus. We said they can't do it during school hours, or at least they're allowed to do it during, hours.
Lunch, maybe.
Right,
yeah.
when they're allowed to have a phone out or something like that. Yeah. But you'll kind of see, after school and, stuff like that. So it's just, it's one of those things, yeah, where we can not necessarily make lacrosse such a chore or such a grind for them. There's a little bit of fun involved, which, in turn we can use that as a positive energy, for practices and stuff like that.
And don't think there won't be any kind of competition for creativity on there too.
No doubt. I mean, I'm sure, it's nice. There's a good, we have 10 seniors, all 10 of them are captains. It's easy. We got 5 days, that's two each day.
Works out well.
So we'll see who will top each other. So
it will be fun. All right. What's the address too for a vote if you're not on?
It's just Instagram, it's just Mueller Lacrosse.
Just search Mueller Lacrosse.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
I will do that after we're done here. It'll take me a while to figure it out. I'm not Instagram savvy yet. I got it, but I'm not a whole lot big on it. So, all right, let's go. You got one more scrimmage first off,
yep,
and then you'll get ready for real later on in the week. First off, CHCA. What do you try to accomplish? What's different from what you did on Saturday?
I think what we do is we have film up on Huddle now, so coaches have had a chance to look at it. Kids have had a chance to look at it. What we're going to do, because it's a little bit of quick turnaround, is just look at the glaring things. Do we need to do a better job in offensive transition or defensive transition getting back? What do our stick skills look like? What's our spacing look like offensively? Yeah. What's our approach, or how does our slide recovery look defensively? So we want to take big concepts, look at that, talk about it today, and then go back tomorrow and, kind of put it together on a scrimmage. It's fun. We've never really played CHCA. Mark Lynch is the head coach over there, doing great things. He did great things at Milford. A lot of good things back in the day when he was the head coach at Loveland before he moved to Dallas. So he's doing some good things over there, and it's just nice to go over there, scrimmage each other, and again play someone differently, and
sure,
just get some work in. So that's kind of just a little bit of a business trip, just to button up a few things and then get ready for Friday.
You mentioned the film of the video up for the players on Huddle. I want to give a shout out to our videographers, Mike Reeder, the hockey head coach, did a phenomenal job with hockey this past year. So, and he's got that mindset of a coach too, that's got to help you out, because he he knows what he likes to see on film.
Yeah.
So probably.
Well, yeah. You know, since Mike's been helping us out and doing some filming, I mean, we really get to. We don't miss anything, right. Or he doesn't miss anything when he's filming. So, you know, he does such a good job of it, yeah. And everyone else at ESP Media that helps us out. So it really is a little bit of a game changer for us if we have some really good film and capturing what we need to see in order to cut up and have different highlights or have, you know, different clips for the guys to watch and learn.
Yeah, and that's a big thing of them, kind of back to the social media thing too, of promoting themselves too, yeah. to possibly yeah. get that chance to play at the next level.
Yep, so. No doubt. I mean, these guys are pretty savvy at, you know,
they are.
They could have a highlight film, you know, in 5 minutes time with all their clips. So
that is so fun to watch. So that'll be CHCA coming up on Tuesday, and then you put it all together and get ready because the regular season opens this weekend, Friday and Saturday. You got
yep.
games coming up.
You know, we start off real quick, a little bit of a sprint, but you know, in this day and age with weather and breaks and everything else, you gotta. Unfortunately, double dip on Saturdays and Fridays and Saturdays sometimes. Yep. And nice thing is, you know, we get a nice game over at Milford on Friday night. And then, you know, we've been invited by the Ohio Machine to go play up at the Ohio Machine High School Showcase. So that's nice to get up there and be a part of that experience. So it'll be fun. You know, Milford, I believe, returned some good seniors and some good juniors. You know, the nice thing about the first game is, you know, you try and go watch film from last year, but everybody's new. You like, you kind of know who's got who, but everybody's new. So, you know, you just go out there and you make adjustments, you know, from quarter to quarter and halftime. And it's really nice. You don't really overthink it. You just got to make sure they're ready for the first whistle and go from there and play for 48 minutes.
And I'm guessing at that point, too, though, you more take care of what it is that you're capable of doing and what it is you need to do. Versus,
you know, the
what...
biggest thing, even like Saturday, was like, we need to just focus on ourselves. The biggest thing is our guys this year, we want to make sure they understand, and we keep saying it, focus on the process, but really focus on ourselves. Like, let's not worry about who has, you know, what team has which player or right. which team beat that team. Let's just worry about ourselves. And if we can worry about ourselves, we'll handle any adversity that comes our way.
And that gets back into that whole trust in the process
right.
scenario.
Exactly.
Too. So, yeah, you know, playing Milford, that's one thing. Olentangy into Columbus schools, and you've had plenty of experience with
yeah,
Columbus,
you know,
schools.
You know, they're going to be good. I think they're going to be a little young because of you know, some rezoning and opening up Olentangy Berlin High School. So and they definitely have some good players, I think, at the senior level and maybe some juniors. Again, we don't know much. You know, try and find some information out on them before Saturday at 5 p.m. But again, it's nice to kind of go up there and just. Experience it quarter by quarter and make adjustments, you know, but if our guys do what they need to do this week, I think we'll be okay by you know, the end of the weekend.
For you, this whole thing of the whole offseason is so long from the end of last year to where you're at now, and then does it seem like it sneaks up on you when all of a sudden, like, oh my gosh,
yeah,
here we
you
are,
know, I think
it,
yeah, a little bit. I mean, I think it sneaks up a little bit on you, but you know, I was thinking about it this morning, is, you know, the nice thing is we get to close some doors on, you know, preseason stuff. You know, we get to close the door on, you know, like we talked about, you know, making up the teams and all the administrative stuff. And, you know, we really get to set sail on a really cool journey for a couple months with, you know, a great group of guys. We have, you know, 33, 34 guys on our varsity team. So, you know, that's the most important thing we're looking forward to at this point, is, you know, how much we can get these guys to commit to each other.
Yeah.
How much can we get these guys to, you know, just gel and connect to each other all season long. That's a big word we're using, is connection. And if we can do that, I think everyone's just going to have a great year.
That's going to be very exciting. So Milford on Friday night, 7 o'clock at Milford. Go support the guys. Let's go and watch them. It might be a little chilly, not
little
horrible,
bit,
but
a little bit, not as bad as last week. But
yeah, definitely not as bad as last week. That's for sure.
It'll be a good Friday night.
Well, I'll tell you what. Well, let's take a time out here. And coming up next, what we're going to do is we're going to come back and chat from Lax Record. We're going to talk with Michael Ward. He's a Midwest contributor to help out. He'll give us a little idea of what we can expect, maybe not only around Cincinnati, but around the state of Ohio, talking about Olentangy and how things will change up. So we're going to talk to Michael Ward coming up next from Lax Records as we continue with our Molar Lacrosse Podcast. Head Coach Sean McGinnis, I'm Greg Waddell on ESP Media, powered by Sidearm Sports.
Are you looking to produce your own podcast? ESP Media has state-of-the-art audio and video production studios available for you. Our studio rental rates are the most competitive in town. Contact us today at sales@espmediasn.com or 513-655-4966. That's 513-655-4966. It's your podcast. We just produce it. Total Wealth Planning can partner, guide, and educate your family holistically on your financial goals and pursuits. Your dreams are better achieved with a trusted fiduciary like Rob Lemons and his team. Contact Rob today at 513-984-6696. That's 513-984-6696 or on the web at twpteam.com. Total Wealth Planning.
Hi again, everybody. We welcome you back into ESPN Media, powered by Sidearm Sports, our third Molar Lacrosse podcast of this 2019 season. I'm Greg Wardell with head coach Sean McGinnis, and very excited to have with us one of the contributors. He's going to be, in fact, handling a lot of what's going on around the Midwest and even more so Ohio. Michael Ward is here from LaxRecords.com. Michael, hey, we appreciate you spending some time with us here, and probably like Sean McGinnis, you got to be excited that season's ready to get going.
Well, I'm very happy that you guys have me on. I couldn't tell you how excited I am. I'm ready to go.
Little surprise.
I've already been to three high school games this year already. I mean, I've been following Culver for the last week, so that's gotten me a little warmed up. So now I'm ready for the season to get going.
Yeah, Culver's a big one out of the Indiana. It's the state of Indiana. They certainly know what to do there with their stick sports. So, hey, Michael, I'm curious to tell me maybe a little bit about how you and Sean McGinnis kind of know each other and what it is exactly we can expect on LaxRecords.com.
Well, Lax Records has been around for 5 years. It was started by Mike Loveday, who used to work for ESPN. He used to work for Inside Lacrosse. He decided to start his own information site. He's like Wikipedia for lacrosse. His mind is like a computer. And so he gets all the records and all the stats. Well, I hooked up with him because I was concerned about, I want more Midwest coverage. And in my process of going through the Midwest coverage, I reached out to coaches of, mainly the four states, Indiana, Illinois, Michigan, and Ohio. And that's how I got connected with Coach McGinnis. Where he gave me a lot of background on Ohio. I gave him a lot of background of what I thought of it. Sometimes there's an agreement, sometimes we might not, about the whole thing. But, well, I love the passion, and that's the best thing. The one thing I have noticed is Ohio, maybe a lot of people think this about a lot of their sports, but Ohio is very passionate about their lacrosse. Nothing bad could be from that. They're helping to promote the game on their own, as well as everything. So that's great.
Yeah, and Mike's done Mike Loveday and Michael Ward here have done an awesome job. Starting with this preseason, kicking things off. Mike Loveday has been doing a lot of different records. He hold as far as players to watch. He does a watch list for all 50 states. He does different lists as far as who scored a certain amount of points or nice. Who has records throughout the all 50 states. He does coaches, who the Century Club, like who has 100 wins, 200, 400 wins. So, he definitely is a wealth of knowledge when it comes to high school lacrosse across the country. And it's great to see, Mike Ward starting to do some stuff within the Midwest, contributing about all the high school lacrosse that is going on in our region.
Well, and Sean, when you look at these kind of things too, and as I look at the website here, national records, state records, and yearly leaders, for me who likes to broadcast the sports, you can never have enough stats.
Right.
So whether it's all-time records, whether it's yearly records or any of that stuff. So for you, Michael, how do you track this down? I guess it's got to be the relationships that you build with all the coaches and the teams.
Yes, that is. And Mike has, I have to say that Mike Loveday has years and years of connections, from ESPN, from Inside Lacrosse. And so that really helps. And to have him attach me gives me the credibility to talk to other coaches. So I couldn't do it without him. I like to say he's the brains of the operation. I'm sort of the bull that just goes in there and likes to talk to people. So, he has a full-time job, too. This is a guy who's got a full-time job. I'm retired. I did this on my own because this is something I enjoy. So I get to go and travel and go see things in person where he's more the statistical analysis and reaching out to people. So it's a nice combination for the both of us.
Sean, for you, and how do you – help out with them. I mean, because part of this is all the promotion of the sport. The sport continues to build, at least in our area anyway.
Well, like we said earlier in the podcast about promoting Molar lacrosse, you know, we take a good look at when they ask us our best players, you know, by graduation class, you know, we take a look at that and give them some names of kids who we think that are players that need to be watched over the course of this season. When they need information as far as stats and career stats, we give that to them. And then, you know, Mike Ward's been trying to put together some ranking systems and things like that for the Midwest, for Ohio high school. So, you know, kind of throw out, you know, a top 10 or kind of give him some insight of what games he should be watching, go to, and things like that.
And Mike, let's maybe break this down just a little bit more, and let's get into our area, the Region 4 in Ohio. How do you kind of rank these teams early on? How much of it is kind of talking to the coaches and their feedback? And then I guess obviously a lot of it is the returning players coming back too.
Well, there is the coaches aspect, talking to the coaches. But as I used to be a trader, I used to think, you know, the coaches will a lot of times talk their team, which is fine. You know, I expect that. I do look at a lot of returning players, which is a big thing, which is pretty much all you could do right now. Players who left, that's another big one. So, I mean, I'm looking at Region 4 right now, and I've got, you know, my top five are Region 4, and I would say it's Muller, St. X up there. I've heard St. X has lost some players. Muller's, from what I've gotten throughout the state, a lot of people are telling me Muller, it's Muller's year. That's just not from Coach McGinnis. That's from people across the state. But then if you look on, like, some of the other if you look on, like, the U.S. lacrosse rankings and the inside lacrosse, they're not even mentioned. So I sort of get a giggle out of that. I'm like, well, I wonder who they're talking to, who am I talking to. But, you know, that's the battle right there.
Sure.
Stanek, Smoller, I mean, I think those are the and I don't like putting down anybody. I'm always about, you know, lifting everyone up. But I think those are the two best teams in Region 4. So that should be the battle. And I think it is most of the time going forward.
Sure. I would tend to agree with that. And it kind of ends up that way in a lot of the different sports as it is anyway. So how about some of the other teams, maybe not only in our region here, but throughout the state of Ohio, Columbus, Cleveland schools, they always have strong followings and certainly strong programs in both those areas.
Well, so my regional forecast comes out tomorrow on maxrecords.com. So I just did a little bit of a synopsis for each state that I'm covering. So basically I have for my top five, and I did this in alphabetical order so nobody could question loyalty. Well, they haven't played yet. Someone said, oh, you know, when I put out a stat earlier, someone's like, oh, they're not good. I said, stats, records don't play the games. So when
That's
they
right.
play the games, then I could make a thing. But my top five in alphabetical order were Molar, Kaufman, St. Ignatius, St. Xavier, Upper Arlington. You know, I think that's pretty much the top five for a lot of people in the state. Dublin Jerome gets a lot of talk, you know, that they could be somebody coming up. A lot of talk about New Albany. That was something that was shocking to me, you know, because I wasn't really aware of them. But a few people have said this is a team to keep an eye on. So that's great. They have more and more teams.
Oh, absolutely.
And probably the deepest state in the Midwest, Ohio. It only helps the sport.
Yeah, you know,
it's going to be a great year.
Yeah, I think overall there's a lot of parity and it's going to be a great year. You know, not speaking for our region, but, you know, the Central Ohio and Northern Ohio regions, you know, obviously Upper Arlington is a team that you always have to put in there with a rich tradition, and they do have a lot of good players coming back. And Kaufman probably has one of the more talented teams in the state across the board when it comes to every position. There's at least one or two guys every position on that team that is a high caliber guy. And then, you know, you look north to Cleveland, you've got St. Ed's and you got Ignatius up there with a few other teams. Hudson, I think, don't sleep on Hudson. You know, I think with a new team, they're going to do really well. And then, yeah, like I said, Dublin Jerome, very young, but very skilled. Old Tangier Liberty is still in the mix there with some really talented kids. And New Albany, young, but has some very young talent and well coached by Dan Gibson. So I think Overall, like Mike said, Ohio high school lacrosse is pretty deep and talented this year.
And that actually, I don't want to say it caught me by surprise, Mike, but the fact that you say that Ohio, I'm fairly new within the last 3-4 years of watching lacrosse. I've been a hockey guy for a long, long time, so the stick sports I certainly understand. But to hear that Ohio has that kind of deep talent, and looking at it from you, from a Midwest kind of a overall standpoint, that's kind of exciting to know that we've got that kind of quality lacrosse in this state of Ohio.
Yeah, it's, you know what? It's always been that way. So I've been following lacrosse for 20 years, and I'm originally from Chicago. So I covered the Midwest from a Chicago aspect. Now I'm in Carmel, Indiana. And I will tell you this, for the last 10 years in Illinois, when you would hear Ohio lacrosse, there was only pretty much two to three teams that we always heard.
Sure.
We always heard about Moeller. We always heard about Upper Arlington, and back then we always heard about Dublin Jerome. You know, it wasn't Kaufman. It was Jerome, and then St. Ignatius came on the scene, and then Kaufman came on the scene, and then Liberty comes. So it just, you know, it's such a great sports state,
yeah.
and they're so competitive that it was only bound to happen. You know, it's almost like it comes from the east. So you got Ohio, and then it's hitting Michigan.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Illinois and Indiana.
You know, one of the other teams we haven't discussed yet, little coaching turnover, but I think is going to be real talented and give a lot of people fits in Central Ohio, is Worthington Kilbourne, the Wolves from Worthington Kilbourne. They're always, you know, a talented group of guys, talented team. And even though there's a little bit of coaching turnover this year, a lot of talent, I think, at the upper level, juniors, maybe even a few seniors. So I wouldn't necessarily count them out for anything. They always give people a hard time, and I think last year they made it all the way to, I think, the sectional finals or something like that. So you can't count out Worthington Kilbourne either.
Absolutely. Well, Mike, I'm glad we made contact with you, and if you don't mind, we'd love to stay in touch with you here during the course of the season and kind of get periodic updates as to what's happening around this area and kind of promote your website as well, Lax Records, L-A-X, laxrecords.com. And you mentioned you've got some stuff coming out tomorrow as well on the site?
Yes. It'll be my Midwest sort of review. It's just a little, it's not a big thing. It's just a little thing. You know, it's, I'm not.
What to expect?
I'm just going top five. You're right. What to expect, who to look at, what players to look at. Like, I have a nice list of players to watch from each state. Their college commits, what I have. It's about 10 guys. You know, by no means is it all the best players.
Sure.
There are a lot of good players in the Midwest. A lot.
Yep.
So it's hard to do, but it's fun.
It'll be obviously a developing type of a scenario as well as the year goes on.
Well, like I said earlier, Mike, if you can get here on April 5th for the game at Nippert versus St. X.
Yeah, we'd love to have you.
I think, you know, Greg here will pop for a couple Skyline Coneys for you and a Coke, and you can sit and watch the game with him.
Oh, I love that. That's our spring break for my kids is the first week of April. And I canceled my spring break trip.
There you
so
go.
I go watch lacrosse.
Nice.
So I
it's
plan
dedicated.
On
that's dedication
that
right
sure.
there.
Right. Well, right. So I'll probably be seeing you back to back at Cathedral and then at St. Xavier. So
sounds great.
I'll be seeing you twice in a row.
Awesome. Well, we look forward to meeting you. And if we happen to be broadcasting that game, we'll get you on at halftime as well, okay?
That's wonderful. I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me
on.
Thanks, Mike.
Great. Mike Ward, he is Midwest contributor for laxrecords.com. That's L-A-X, records, plural, with an S at the end, laxrecords.com. Appreciate Mike's time. And as we get ready for this upcoming week, Sean, for the first two games, we mentioned it in the last segment, we're going to catch up a week from now and review what happens over the course of this weekend.
Yep. So it should be good. We're excited to get this thing finally going, and look forward to seeing you guys next week.
Yeah, very excited to see what happens this weekend. So good luck with Milford on Friday night, and gets Olentangy on Saturday. We'll catch up with you next weekend. Again, thanks to Mike Ward and to our executive producer, Rob Ebel. I'm Greg Waddell. Appreciate you listening in. It's Moeller Lacrosse Podcast, number 3 from ESP Media, powered by Sidearm Sports.